Robert left Android World for Apple 3 months later.
Hi.
About 3 months ago, we published an episode covering Robert's transition into Apple World. Link is in the description. Robert, how does it feel 3 months later?
Feels pretty nice. I don't want to go into too much details. I wanted to cover three topics that kind of changed the way I've used my phone or I have upgraded the experience in some way or another. First of them being the messaging apps, the photos apps and iCloud syncing and Google storage, and the voice assistant.
That's going to be amazing. But when you said that you don't want to go into too much details, I was like, what are we doing? This episode is going to be all about this.
We could be going into 10 different things, but no, let's not waste too much time. One of the most notable differences for me, first one, is the messaging apps. So I was used to using Signal exclusively as it supported the SMS protocol. So all my messages came in through there. Even if there was some contact from another country, I would be getting everything through my Signal. That's the biggest upgrade I've felt to this point. And now that I switched over to iOS, Signal does not support the SMS protocol at all. So it means automatically I had to download another app, which is Signal, so I could use it for the encrypted chats and for everyone else that I don't have in this country or whatever, similar to as you would be using, I don't know, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp Messenger, and that's how I still use it. And I use messages alongside the same way, messages from iOS. So this is kind of a good and a bad thing, and why it's bad. Again, Signal does not support SMS protocol on the iOS device, so I keep using it for everyone else, as said. And another bad thing is, yes, now I have two apps for messaging, which is kind of annoying. I really like a minimalistic user experience, so that's one of the bad sides for sure. Another bad thing is that the messages app from iOS does not enjoy the same type of encryption that Signal does. Plus, messages is owned by Apple, which is an entity, and they do not open source their code for the messages. It's proprietary. What's good about this is that whenever I receive a message on the messages app, it automatically syncs with my MacBook device, so I can directly respond from to here. I couldn't do that with Signal for regular SMSs. I could do it for the messages I received, but not for all of them. And what's also good is that the messaging app on iOS works similar as like your Facebook, WhatsApp Messenger. As long as the other party also has an iOS device, I can FaceTime them or talk to them completely for free. It's really similar in that aspect.
Amazing. You got me triggered with minimalistic approach to apps. You're saying that you're only using like two. My use case on Android side is totally different. I use six or seven different messaging apps, unfortunately. And the reason for that is that I have a very diverse circle of contacts. Both of those people, no, just a joke, all of those people in that circle are using different apps. And I don't have a tool that would allow me to connect all of them. Sure, I could use Google Messages, but they always boil back down to sending SMSs, which are notoriously bad with anything but text. So in my Android world, I'm doomed to use a bunch of apps like Signal, WhatsApp, Viber, Facebook Messenger. Do you want me to continue? Come on. It's
Yeah, I can't really relate because I really even on the Android device, I try to keep it as clean as possible to avoid having to open a million apps and getting used to them. But yeah, now it's
Life goal.
Yeah, now this brings me into the next segue, which is how I use differently the photos app and syncing my phone to the cloud, mostly just about the photos. So on Android, all of my photos were directly synced with the Google Photos app under the Google Drive limit or Google One account, 15 gigabytes.
Google Photos for the win.
And now on iOS, as soon as I started taking photos and everything, it started syncing with my iCloud storage. And it was like probably days or weeks after it said your iCloud storage is running out of storage. Please upgrade to this plan. And I was like, no. Downloaded Google Photos, turned off my iPhone syncing with iCloud, deleted all the photos from the local storage just so I don't have them synced with the Google Photos and still have them on the Photos app. This means it's like a bad thing because you could really run out of iCloud storage real fast. Mm-hmm. And that's the solution was turn off syncing, use Google Photos. And this required some effort. Just because I didn't also want to be stuck within the Apple ecosystem 100% of the time, because I really don't like being in that jail. In another retrospect, whenever I open the Google Photos app and try to play a video, it has to download the video. Yeah. It has to buffer it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the past few weeks, I've been seriously contemplating possibly switching to the iCloud paid storage because 50 gigabytes is only 99 cents. I will get the leisure of not having to buffer anything. The iCloud sync will be going on. I can turn off the iCloud sync also on my computer and then enjoy it. I don't know. I've been seriously contemplating going into the Apple ecosystem jail real soon. So maybe stay tuned to see what happens.
It's a difficult decision. But right now, are you on a free plan with Google or are you paying them as well?
I don't know. I'm on free plan everywhere in regards to the storage.
Okay. Because storage and photos, this one is tricky. If you're locked in with an ecosystem like Apple, okay, I see the point. But for the for the cross-platform use, I think Google Photos still has the edge, or Google Drive still has the edge. And I'm currently on the paid plan with them. I use around 80 gigs, and I have 100 gigs on my plan. Super useful for me. And as I'm using an Android device and a MacBook, I think it's better. But to be honest, I don't have any experience with iCloud. The only information I have is by reading the articles. And everybody's saying that if you're locked into the ecosystem, yeah, sure, go with iDrive. iCloud. Everything else, Google beats it.
Yeah,
Let me know what your decision will be, and maybe we'll do a video about user experience of migrating to iCloud.
for now, migrating. Oh no, that's going to be a pain. Oh no. No, okay. Which leads me to my last topic I wanted to cover, the voice assistants.
Not the voice assistants. Come on, those are terrible.
Yeah, just a quick one. And before I want to go into this kind of biased view of Siri versus Google Assistant, I wanted to ask you, since you're a Google user and I haven't used the Google Assistant before, have you tried it? How much do you use it? Are you satisfied?
You know that I hate Google Assistant. You know that I hate voice commands. That shit doesn't work. Sorry. I know that it works for some people. It doesn't work for me. I don't know why. Well, I know that there are a couple of constraints that are my fault. One of them is that I disabled the prompt so it doesn't unlock my phone. So if I'm just saying, you know, the prompt, because I won't say it live on the video because I'll be triggering everyone's devices. But if I said a prompt or something similar to the prompt, my phone was firing all the time. So I had to shut it down. That means that if I want to use voice commands, I have to unlock the phone. That also means that I have to press the little microphone thingy just to trigger it. That means that I'm already two tabs deep into the whole process. So what's then the value of using voice commands? I'm mainly stuck into navigate to home and navigate to work or navigate to a specific address. But even then, when I say navigate to a specific address, I'm based in Slovenia. That means that our street names are, well, not pronounceable in English. Or if you pronounce them properly, you get some gibberish and you'll navigate to somewhere in Germany or somewhere. That doesn't work. After that, calls, I don't know, maybe, but everything else just triggers Google search for me. I used shopping list for a while. I also noticed that a couple of items were missing or something else was logged in. It just didn't work for me. I don't know. What's the experience with Apple? Is it better? Should I buy an iPhone just for this?
I don't think you should be basing your decisions just on that. But and again, before I deep dive into this, I want to know that I have not been a fan of voice assistants in the past. One of them was, One of them was me not trusting the Android device since it's like owned by some Chinese manufacturer. And it was really a hard decision to be like committing to it in the past. And security wise, I do trust Apple more since it owns both the phone and the operating system it's running. Again, this is really debatable and you can just see this as a one-sided biased review since I decided to use Siri now. And one of the most common cases that I use it for is when driving, trying to navigate, say, hey, and the name, I don't want to trigger your device as well. where is my parked car? Play this song on Spotify. One of the most common things is before I go to bed, I say, turn on all my alarm clocks or just postponing them or setting a specific reminder or just asking what time it is, even just without touching my device. And that feels quite nice. I'm sorry I didn't give Android Assistant, Google Assistant a chance. But yeah, in retrospect, I'm really satisfied with Siri and how it gives back results.
I think I will give Google Assistant one more chance when I get my smart home up and running. But till then, the voice commands just don't work for me. If they work in Apple ecosystem, amazing. But this will still not tilt me over the edge of buying an iPhone.
Nah, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. It shouldn't for now. Maybe in the future when this new iPhone 15 comes out. Let's also save that for another discussion. So to try to wrap this up, my whole experience with those three topics that I said, it has good and bad ways, good points and bad points. The bad ones include I have to have two messaging apps, Signal and Messages, two photos apps, deleting photos and locally and then resyncing them with Google Photos, and contemplating buying additional iCloud storage is also bad in retrospect because I've never been used to paying for anything. And the good ways, good points are enjoying messages and FaceTime without having everything synced with my MacBook, using it across my devices, and started using Voice Assistant and enjoying it much more. And even though Siri sometimes doesn't hear me, it's supposedly now fixed with the latest update that came out yesterday or 2 days ago.
Well, keep me posted. Let's wrap it up for this one. Dear listener, dear viewer, if you're watching this, comment below. Have you ever switched? What's the main difference between iOS and Android device? If you don't have any idea, just help me bash the voice commands. That's it. See you next time. Ciao.
Bye.